Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our special guest this morning is Joel Skousen, and we're going to be talking about the issues that are covered in his weekly product, the World Affairs Brief. And certainly, I think we're going to start off talking about what's happening in the financial market. So without further ado, Joel Skousen. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, pick up the story and tell us what your interpretation of what's happening.
Well, we're going to be talking about the economy today. I have a unique point of view in terms of what's happening here. We hear, of course, the big story is the dollar sinking to a record low. We hear that almost every week now. We need to get used to it. It's obviously going to continue its steady decline, even though the dollar rallied yesterday. It's only a short-term thing based upon investors' expectations that Fed was going to try to support the dollar. I don't know how they can unless they want to raise interest rates, because basically people don't want to put money into a dollar if the Fed is only giving some 3% in interest or even 2.5% when the European Union is giving almost 4% to invest in euros, and that's one of the things that does keep one currency higher than another. But it's going to continue based upon the Fed's propensity to bail out the major banks and financial institutions whose solvency depends on a package of paper assets that no longer has any verifiable value. It isn't that these subprime loans don't have any value. I mean, even if 20% of them default, they're still value at 80%. The problem is that value or that default level could go well below 50%. If, in fact, we have a major recession and people start losing their jobs and start defaulting on their loans. So the problem is nobody knows how valuable these things are. It's an unverifiable value. There's really no market that can be established right now for it. So there's essentially nobody wanting to buy this debt paper. And as currency traders obviously react to each new injection of liquidity and the lowering of U.S. interest rates, the dollar keeps going down. It lost 1% this week compared to the euro, and it's gone down 6% in the past month, 17% in the last year, and a whopping 31% in the past 2 years. I mean, that's just a horrible record for a currency. Now, of course, one of the things that's important to remember is the debasement of our currency is even worse than what it looks like relative to these others, because all these other currencies, the euro, the yen, and the British pound, are being depreciated as well. So it means that we're depreciating in the past year 70% faster than the euro, which is also, has an inflation rate of almost 4 or 5%. And so, real inflation of the money supply is higher than the percentage fall of the dollar. Even the markets are having trouble figuring out what the effect of this bailout is going to occur. We will notice that on Wednesday, after the $200 billion plan announcement from the Federal Reserve, there was a huge rally on Wall Street, 416 points up, and then it flattened out and went and lost most of that the next day, or a good portion of that, down below 12,000. Pickers couldn't really find out. Well, they were enthused at first, thought this was another bailout in the Fed. Actually, I think what they did, they made bets in the market that a lot of other people would think the market was going to go up because of this announcement, and then they sold off those bets. There's a lot of profits made from this one-day uptick and the subsequent retreat the next day. But, you know, the long-term prognosis for the dollar is bad in the sense that there seems to be no end to the amount of intervention the Fed need to be able to save the major financial institutions, not only from the subprime mortgage market, but from the burgeoning derivatives markets. And then we have volatile energy prices added to the market's anxiety. Oil prices have gone above $110 a barrel again today. And the primary reason why is something that's very, very important for listeners to understand. It has nothing to do anymore with supply and demand of oil. In fact, the $100 price per barrel actually came up despite unexpected large amounts of crude and gasoline supplies in the system. And yet the price still rose. Why? And it's because oil has become a store of value as a hedge against the falling dollar, just like gold and silver serve. In other words, speculators are joining in with oil traders to find a place to park their excess dollars, causing the price of oil to rise, unrelated to the actual amount of supply and demand. Now, major financial institutions are collapsing even as we speak. Countrywide Financial, of course, was a big one. It was bought out by Bank of America, and then their balance sheet turned very, very negative, and Bank of America is in trouble. This week, another huge insider-connected fund is going under, Carlyle Capital. Carlyle Capital is related to, of course, the infamous Carlyle Group, dark side corporation, very insider-connected, that owns or controls many of the mercenary operations on behalf of the government, which you and I believe are very, very suspect in terms of their motives, ultimately to train a lot of mercenaries within the United States that could be used against our own citizens. But in any case, Carlyle Capital was not able to reach an agreement with Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan. They basically built a leveraged debt fund of some $21 billion, and they used borrowed money to do it, Dr. Stan, and borrowed money to build up a portfolio of $21 billion, and, you know, they couldn't make their interest payments. Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan were not willing to negotiate any lower rates with Carlyle, and so they foreclosed on this subprime debt that Carlyle had bought for this fund, and they're going to auction it off. Who knows what it'll bring, but the Carlyle Group announced this morning that they were going to try to work out some compensation package for all the big investors have lost billions of dollars in this this fund going down. So, in essence, it's just really only beginning. We could see a lot more bloodletting. So it doesn't look good, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think what Carlyle had about $600 million in the fund and yet holding assets of $21 billion, all based upon debt. And people don't understand that this is what the hedge funds have been doing, and a lot of the hedge funds are going down, too, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. And this is part of the big derivative stuff that is, this is the big $500 trillion monster that is waiting to happen.
Just overshadowing the markets? Well, we're in real trouble. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talky tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon? Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum,
yeah,
hear a hissing noise, see bubbling earth or water, vegetation that's dead or dying, or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate, and don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry.
and is a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here with Joel Skousen, talking about the economy, the rising price of oil, certainly the failure of so many of the hedge funds, the problem that so many home foreclosures, people have either on the verge of losing their homes or have lost their homes, and it's going to happen to a lot more people before this is over. So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, my basic premise is a little bit different, Dr. Stan. In other words, one of the things that I think people have to realize is that this economy is very much different from a traditional economy that was in existence when you and I were growing up and starting our families and buying a house. In those days, when you went to a bank to apply for a mortgage, they had to have money in the bank. And sometimes they would tell you, look, we just don't have any money to loan right now. That all changed in the past decade or so when the banks essentially got a free line of credit. All banks got a free line of credit to the Fed through the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And essentially, the government was willing to fund any mortgage that mortgage companies or banks or savings and loan could write that met certain criteria, and sell it on upline so they could get reimbursed for the money they had just written a loan for, and you could write as many loans as people walked in through the door as long as they met the criteria for selling the loan upline. When those buyers began to dwindle down, they started to toy with offering new packages of loans called subprime loans that would go to people who didn't meet the standard criteria. Essentially what they did really was people without any good credit rating or any ability to make a down payment, they would in essence give them a second loan at a little higher interest rates that would pay off in 3 or 4 years, and in essence then they could have loan the first down payment money and then take out the larger loan. And a lot of people went into these ARM loans, which are adjustable rate mortgages, which was a time bomb waiting to happen. So this was very unwise. But it was mainly driven by the fact of unlimited money available through the federal government to fund any kind of loan that they could write. But in addition, there has been a whole new economy that has been driven by the fact that we have had so much fiat money pumped into the economy over time. This really has been responsible for everything, including the dot-com boom. There was obviously a lot of true high-tech technology that was ready to get into the market. But the real economy takes time for businesses to develop and rise up. Most of the dot-com boom was skyrocketing stock prices for things like internet companies that had very little capitalization in the market, very little assets, frankly, that were attributable to the rise in the stock. It was simply a speculative gamble. There's so many people who were getting very, very big salaries during the 80s, and that mushroomed into the 90s to multi-million dollar compensation plus multi-million dollar bonuses. Plus, when you had the run-up in the stock market of the 90s, everybody started to offer compensation in terms of stock options. And people became millionaires because of starting getting in on the ground floor of some of these internet companies, and billionaires, in fact. But in fact, a lot of this was hot air, and this stuff collapsed. But what I want to make the point is that a lot of these people who became newly rich through high-flying, high-risk internet and high-tech investments were unwilling to put their money into the traditional business model that took 10 or 15 years to grow a business and to become very profitable. They started looking, billions of dollars started looking for the quick get-rich-quick scheme, and thus we built a balloon within the marketplace of speculation into stocks and not bonds, but stocks primarily, and derivatives that started up, and these were bets upon bets within the market, bets on forward and backward options in the market. This was just pure speculation that had no intent whatsoever to invest money in productive endeavors. These were simply, this was a gambling market. The gambling market became so huge within the economy that I think it dwarfed, and this is my major thesis, that even today, the subprime mortgage market dwarfs the real economy in terms of where people put their money and wanted high returns, much higher than the 7 to 8% return on capitalization that you can get in normal business-type investments within the real economy. So the point that I want to make out is that what we have built is a huge balloon within the economy that represents reserves of people who had obscene compensation, who put their money into these types of highly speculative accounts as a reserve, money that they really didn't need to live on. These people are mostly in institutions that invested in these large blocks. I mean, you had to have $100,000 even to talk to these major funds. So these people, most of which were millionaires, put their money into these funds simply to earn high returns on their investment, high inflationary returns on the actual capitalization. But they really didn't need this to live on. In other words, most of this can collapse without actually affecting, in the short term, the real economy. These things are interconnected. In other words, I would suspect there's maybe 20 to 30% of this money that regularly each year comes out of the reserve holdings of people into productive investments within the economy. Only 20 to 30%. The rest is simply in there speculating and making money by churning the money and keeping the velocity of money high. That portion of the balloon, you see, a great portion of the boom can collapse without actually getting to the economy, and that's what we're seeing, in my opinion. We are seeing, for example, a deflation among the investment sector, but an inflation among all of the commodity prices having to do with the real economy. So we're seeing vastly increased gas prices. A lot of those are the investors bailing out of the debt balloon market and putting their money into commodities, which they should have been putting their money into commodities, but a wider range than just oil before, because commodities are real live investments. We're seeing, of course, a hijacking of the food prices into a higher range due to the ethanol bailout problem, which has gobbled up a tremendous amount of free farm or vacant farmland, and now there is no vacant farmland. Everything's being put on to make ethanol because the government is subsidizing the price, and thus wheat prices are rising and other commodities are as well. With fuel prices rising, the transportation and shipping costs of food from California to the rest of the nation is increasing. So we're having inflation in the range of 8 to 10% of the United States, while we're having a deflation within the actual investment markets. But notice that there is a major disconnect between this. Unlike in the first depression that we had, there was a major connection between the collapsing of the markets and immediately people losing jobs. There isn't an immediate connection here. The amount of job losses and dislocation is much slower than the fall of the investment community. The investment community is collapsing in dramatic form. We're talking about billions lost per week in this market, and it's probably trillions. It's just that the markets haven't adjusted to the losses or haven't admitted the losses. But my caution about this is that this does not necessarily mean that we're going to have a major depression. What it means is it's going to be a depression for those high rollers who got themselves involved in these unwise ballooning of investment reserves into subprime mortgage, and many other investment vehicles, including derivatives, had their base. They used these bonds and packages of debt bonds and mortgage bonds to finance their derivative plays. And these are highly leveraged, probably leveraging, 10% into hundreds of millions of dollars in these plays. And these are the people that are really hurting right now. But this is excess money within the community. This is excess money that was pumped in because so many of these people that got involved in these markets were part of the military-industrial complex. They were on the receiving end of these multi-billion-dollar contracts in Iraq, and this is where the money has gone. I mean, 20 to 30% of it has gone to productive endeavors, but most of it has gone to simply churning within the economy. And those people are losing. They haven't lost their shirts because, you know, a lot of them can't sell. They don't know what to do. It's almost like the dot-com boom when you held stock, but it wasn't worth anything anymore. But you didn't have to show a loss unless you actually tried to sell it. And right now there's no market, so this market is really on hold, and that's what the Fed bailout is all about. This money is not getting into the economy. This money that the Fed, to the tune of $200 billion that they just announced, is going into the coffers of the big banks and the financial institutions, which have been basing their entire collateral financial sheets on these subprime mortgages and these, which in turn financed a good deal of the derivatives. Now, with that said, this is over time inflationary. As Gary North pointed out, the $200 billion really is not directly inflationary at the incipient stages, because what they're doing is swapping T-bills for subprime mortgages. You see, the banks are relatively insolvent because, you know, their reserves are based upon these bonds and these debt bonds, mortgage debt bonds, and those have gone to essentially zero value. They can't sell them at auction. They don't bring much because nobody knows how to value them. No one wants to pick these things up. So the government is swapping banks' T-bills, which do have market values, for their subprime mortgage. And now, it isn't inflationary as long as they don't have to issue new bonds, but they are. I'm saying that the $200 billion isn't going to last more than another month. That'll be gone, and then they'll have to issue new bonds, and that is inflationary. So in the long term, this is going to hit the economy, but there's a relative disconnect between the staggering collapses that are occurring in the paper markets versus what's happening in the real economy. One is deflating and the other is still inflating.
But of course, the pattern that we've seen in other fiat money currencies of problems is that, you know, as simply the stimulus, the issuing of the new money loses its influence, then they've got influence put out more money, and of course, the more money you have, why, of course, the more inflation you have, more money paid. Chasing fewer goods, and of course, you know, certainly the new stimulus is not going to work, and they have two alternatives, either let the economy collapse or issue more money, and it's a lot easier to issue more money than to have to you know, stand up against, you know, a collapsing economy. And so this is what politicians or people who, you know, who issue money have always done. It happened in France in 1789, and that great inflationary blow-off that they had there using fiat money. So do you see us having serious inflation down the line, or do you think eventually they're going to do the right thing, and that is clamp down, raise interest rates, cut off credit, and allow this whole thing to end as Volcker did back in 1980?
Well, no, I don't think that they can raise interest rates significantly to salvage the dollar. And it isn't getting to the economy, but there is enough direct money injection getting to the economy through the military-industrial complex and government welfare spending, and, you know, they're going to inject another $180 billion directly into the economy in these checks that go out in May to people. You know, that's going to have a short-term effect, but it does put spending money in people's pockets. As I've pointed out numerous times, you know, there's an awful lot of people still driving their SUVs. They're not hard up. They're still paying the $75 to $80 it takes to fill one of those tanks. And they're still driving fast on the freeway. They're not slowing down. You know, I've changed my driving habits, and I I hardly ever go over 65 because I can really increase my gas mileage by keeping the speed down. But most people are just whizzing by. 99% of people have not changed their driving habits, and they're making, you know, less than 20 miles per gallon on even on the freeway. You look at the fact that the restaurants are full. They're jam-packed. The big lines have not stopped at all the chain restaurants. The movie houses are full. The entertainment is full. You know what I'm saying? This is not a recession yet.
Hold on. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Scalzinet, the American Investor.
Buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talky tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately. And call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Stop living with pain. Discover Magneticare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Dan back here at the American Freedom Network. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they could get a trial copy of the World Affairs Brief, how you know, they'd be able to subscribe if they wish.
Dr. Stan, my World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And as it states on the front page with the summary of the current brief, the people can request a one-time sample copy of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. There's a lot of free things on the website, including daily postings of all the major news stories. My volunteer researchers sift through the mainstream media sources for the ones that are the least offensive and that have the most truth in them, and that's what they post on the website. We try to avoid any of the outright propaganda pieces. But even the best of the news sources, of course, omit many key truths, which is what I specialize in. At the end of the week, when I do a commentary on each week's news, I put in the information that it's missing so that people can get a true understanding of what the real issues are. Also, on the right-hand side of my web page are a great deal of my archival materials about the various government cover-ups. This is some of the most important pieces that people can read, because cover-ups are the best evidence of conspiracy when you have people within supposedly independent branches of government conspiring to take down whistleblowers, to cover up government involvement in major assassinations around the world, including our own president, JFK, many other things that I've covered, including 9/11 controversy in particular. And on the left-hand side of my website is information about the books that I've written over the years on how to prepare for what I believe could potentially be a failure of our ability to save our country and the need to form a remnant upon which we can at least gain the blessings of the Lord in trying to survive some of the wars and the conflicts that they're going to foist upon us. So that's worldaffairsbrief.com.
That's right, and I recommend it to our listeners. It's a wonderful, wonderful source of information. And as I've said so many times, every morning after I go through my emails, I go to World Affairs Brief and pull down the information there. It gives you a great overview of what's gone on in the last 24 hours, all the leading articles you need to read that you're not going to see covered in your local newspaper. So pick the story up there, Joel.
So let me give a summary of my views on the economy. Most of the bad news in the economy really only pertains to the ballooned speculative sector of the economy, which is huge, too big for its britches, and needs to have major surgery to deflate. It is deflating at this time. But deflation of the speculative sector does not necessarily mean deflation of the consumer sector, which I believe will see record price increases. Most of the Fed's intervention is a bailout of the large financial institutions, which helped create this bubble, in collusion with the Treasury. I think that a partial collapse of the speculative market is inevitable, and it will take much less liquidity injections to keep the real economy going. And those liquidity injections are spilling over constantly into the economy, and that's why you have so many people still flush with money out there. Naturally, of course, it is a selective recession. You have people who are losing jobs at an increasing rate. Those people have a real tough time because dealing with inflation as well as no income, very little savings, if any, and high credit card debt, these people are in bad shape. So we have recession, depression for a small sector of the economy and a lot of people who still are on the receiving end of inflation money from the government. So at this point, I still think the government can inflate their way out of this. I expect them to do so. I see no signs they're going to let this economy fall. They certainly are pulling out all the stops at the expense of the dollar to bail out their fellow insiders within the major trading institutions. But people are, as is typical of a recession, are adapting. Many of the people that are laid off are now freelancing. Some are in the building industry or doing remodeling projects at lower wages, but that is good. They're still able to make their payments. Others are switching to other jobs and otherwise making do. The billions that are being lost are by those who speculated in the derivatives and the markets that were the fund markets, which were providing excessive returns. And these are mostly high rollers that are being hit. It doesn't mean that the fall of the real economy is a necessary appendage. Now, with that said, if this continues over the long, long term, obviously the economy is going to go down. I suspect that housing could go down another 10, possibly 15% before it hits bottom. But even so, like in California, you know, where the average price of the home, I think you said yesterday, was over $700,000, Dr. Stan, that's about double what it's worth. So there's a lot of room to fall, and most people did not buy their house during the speculative boom. Most people will still make plenty of money when they sell their house eventually. even if it goes down to the $500,000 average level. The only people that are hurt are people that got in on the top of the market who have mortgages now that are they owe more than the home is worth. So obviously everyone's going to have to sit on those homes, and they can survive this. I mean, with constant inflation of the money supply and eventual price inflation, those home values will start to rise. Again, it may take 2 or 3 years, but people have to sit on those, keep their jobs intact, and be able to survive this. Inflation, in other words, is the big threat, not collapse of the economy. That's my conservative opinion, anyway, and the world appears brief.
All right, fine. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So what's the next subject we're going to cover?
Next topic is the bringing down of Elliot Spitzer. Dave Lindorf, in his column, correctly worries about the broader implications of the case for the rest of us. He says Governor Spitzer's bust should give pause to those in Congress who are ready to hand President Bush a free pass to continue his six-year campaign of warrantless spying on Americans. We know now from yesterday's Wall Street Journal article that the spying Bush has been doing through the National Security Agency since the year 2001 has included vast computer sweeps of not just Internet and phone activity, but also bank and credit card transactions. These sweeps of ordinary people every day with computers looking for odd transactions or code words, or for transactions involving specific target organizations or addresses, should be of great concern to all Americans. What nailed Spitzer, Lindorf says, we now know was a series of bank transactions he had with the bank account of the Emperor's Club VIP call girl operation. Now, reportedly, this particular probe was being conducted by the IRS, which allegedly was investigating the Emperor's Club. Once the IRS discovered it had caught the New York governor in its web, it's forwarded the case to the U.S. Attorney General's office, where it was pursued by the FBI. Now, what Lindorf is saying is pretty much the establishment story. He does give this caution, of course, that, you know, this dragnet is out there supervising everybody. But what I want to say is that almost everything we've heard in the media is probably disinformation and is meant to cover up what really happened. The answer is that while most of the details of the story about the IRS probably did happen, there was a tip-off by the banks, etc., the point is these things were published after the discovery, not before.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Columbine Hearing Center understands your hearing, speaking, and listening problems. Call highly qualified, nationally certified audiologist Michelle Gross for your hearing test, hearing aid, and listening rehabilitation needs. With 25 years of experience, you will get accurate diagnosis and treatment, undivided attention and service. Call 303-857-6688 for a personal hands-on evaluation. Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. Financing Medicaid and Medicare available.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel is just pointing out the background of the what we're being told about Elliot Spitzer, the governor of New York. But you have to understand that the media, certainly all of them, covered up for President Kennedy's indiscretions. They knew what he was doing when he was in office, and it was totally blacked out by the media. We've seen how they rehabilitated Bill Clinton after his disgraceful activity in the Oval Office. So why are we suddenly seeing the feeding frenzy over Elliot Spitzer? Is there another reason? I think that's a question that Joel's going to ask. So, Joel, go right ahead.
Well, the point that Lindorf and others are making is that none of this spying activity by the government is subject to court supervision and warrants. That's what warrantless spying is all about. We're left to trust the personnel at the NSA or the so-called Justice Department of the president. Do not abuse it. You know, think of the temptations, he says. We all know that the House leadership strategy, what the House leadership strategy is regarding renewal of the NSA wiretap authorization. Is want to know whether Congress is serious about imposing a time limit on troops in Iraq? Just start monitoring their emails and phones. Want to make sure Democrat members of Congress go along with the war in Iran? Just monitor their phones and emails and catch them in conversations that are suitable for a little blackmail. Is this kind of thing happening? He says, well, I keep marveling at the cowardly behavior of leading members of Congress, like Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Judiciary Chair John Conyers. Maybe something's being held above their heads. He's absolutely right. He's, of course, just pontificating here, but I'll tell you, it goes clear back to the story of J. Edgar Hoover, who used the FBI to surveil Congress and members of the White House because it basically gave him a new lease on life. They knew he hated his anti-communism. He had the goods on him, so he kept a lot of blackmail material on these people in order to preserve his life as director of the FBI. Well, they ended up turning that around on J. Edgar Hoover years later by using the CIA to spy on him, found out he had a homosexual lifestyle, and used those photographic evidence to keep Hoover silent about many dark side activities, like his evidence that the government was involved in the assassination of JFK. And, of course, Hoover kept the secret, which is very sad, but that's how they operate in government. Now, I believe the government also keeps tabs on the indiscretions of federal and state judges. They have a great many judges within the dark side that do cover for and give immunity to many of these people. But, Elliot Spitzer really was already on the dark side. He was already, the question is, why was he exposed rather than protected? Why wasn't he able to rely upon the immunity? I mean, let me give some examples here. First of all, any time that there's a ongoing investigation, if they're going to protect the person who's in government, every word out of their mouth when the press asks for details is, this is an ongoing investigation, I can't make any comments. How many times have you seen that on television? Whenever someone asked about protecting a rapist or a serial, this and that, can't answer any questions, it's an ongoing investigation. And yet, the government was just falling all over themselves to tell every single detail about how they got the goods on Elliot Spitzer, who the name of the prostitute is, and, she's going to be made famous over this, it looks like, and it's like being on American Idol for this girl. But, another case is, they claim that, we were trying to investigate this prostitution ring. Well, what do you mean investigate? How long does it take to investigate? This prostitution ring had an open website where you could click on, and with the faces covered, you could have prospective clients check out the physical details of the person they wanted to order and the prices, and you can't tell me that you couldn't have sent in an undercover cop and broken and busted that prostitution ring. The articles on the Spitzer scandal have talked about at least a dozen other major high-profile call girl rings in the Washington and New York area that cater to high-profile people. Why aren't they being shut down? Because they are catering to congressmen and high government officials. And they're part of the immunity system, but apparently Spitzer was not. I mean, look at this. He was titled client number 9. Why haven't we heard about prosecuting clients 1 through 8 or 10 through 99? Why only Spitzer? He must have done something as an insider. And I can only hypothesize at this point because obviously this stuff is deep, dark secret. But one thing I know is that people who run the gauntlet of being a public prosecutor as a road to reaching high-profile political office do so with a lot of insider information that isn't available to the public. Someday I expect to see Fitzgerald run for public office. You know, he built a reputation of going after Karl Rove, and the conservatives love him. But he also protected the vice president, protected Bush, and there were no results of the investigation that went higher up than the fall guy, Libby. But just in that same vein, Spitzer, of course, did some high-profile prosecutions to give him the appearance of a conservative, including prosecuting prostitution rings. Now, that's the ultimate hypocrisy, of course, for someone who pays $80,000 a year for prostitutes. I mean, this is just incredible. This is more than just a an indiscretion. This is a grave moral fetish, you know, when you have to put out that kind of money. So, in essence, I think basically that he either crossed swords with someone who was a future competitor in political office for him. He obviously had major political ambitions. He may have tried to finger someone who was going to get in his way using blackmail, and that person may have had more clout with the establishment than Spitzer anticipated. In any case, obviously the word went out, get Spitzer, and the gloves were off. They were able to make all kinds of public statements about him, even though this is an ongoing investigation, and clearly outed this New York governor with great glee. I do not believe that this was simply Republican versus Democrat, because both parties are controlled by the same major insiders, and they do protect their globalists. They do protect the people who, I mean, look at John McCain and Rudolph Giuliani, done everything they can to shield the public from these major indiscretions. And Obama and Clinton both have their skeletons in their closet as well, but they're shielded and receive the immunity protection that is guaranteed for people who play along. Spitzer had to have done something to get him on the wrong side of the powers that be.
I think it's a very, very good point. I think we just have to get people thinking and asking why. And if we had more people asking why, maybe they'd begin coming up with the same conclusions you have. Joel, thank you so very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we do hope you enjoy our interviews with Joel Skousen every Friday morning. I know I do, so we hope you do as well. But Joel always has a different slant on things, and it's always very, very provocative. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you certainly would like to get information on what's going on financially, we do carry my talk on the financial tsunami. We gave it a couple of years ago. It comes with a syllabus, which explains a lot of the terms and a lot of what's going on today, and we recommend it, the financial tsunami, because if you don't understand hedge funds, derivatives, the carry trade, so many of the things that are going on today, why you're not going to be able to understand as the this whole scenario unfolds before our eyes in the coming months and years. And gold is up well over $1,000 an ounce. Silver is up to almost $21 an ounce. The whole financial markets, as we've known them, are beginning to change and change dramatically. And those people who made preparations are doing very well, and everybody else is simply being stung by the skyrocketing price of oil and food, and inflation is running 10%. The government's lying. Now, we do carry the book. If you haven't read it, you need to. The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin. And if you order it from us and you specifically request it, well, we'll be glad to send you a CD of one of my interviews with Ed Griffin. But it really explains the whole background to our fiat money system, an artificial money system created by the elite for the benefit of the elite and to impoverish the masses. Then we carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. That's the Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, who was a personal friend before he passed away. We have two other books he wrote. One is Gold for Investment. The other is Gold for Survival. And then, of course, we carry the book Fiat Money Inflation in France. Because if you want to understand what happens to fiat money systems, why, you need to find out what happened in France over 200 years ago after the French Revolution. Wonderful book written 100 years ago or more by Andrew Dickinson White, who was the dean of Cornell University. That's Fiat Money Inflation in France. And that will give you more information. Oh, we have two pamphlets we've written. One is of the financial meltdown. The other is entitled The History of Money. And if you have read these things, you'll know more than most professors at the major universities who write about Keynesian economics but don't understand the truth about economics and where we're headed today. Well, anyway, if you'd like to get the information, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But you can't understand anything going on today unless you understand the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. If you have not yet heard our four-tape or four-CD set on the Bilderbergers, you need to get it. We carry two books on the Bilderbergers, the international organization, shadowy international organization, that conceals its existence because they don't want you to know. There is an elite that runs our nation, that runs the world. The books, The Bilderbergers by Daniel Estulin and Bilderberger Diary by James Tucker, both of whom we've interviewed, and you can hear my interviews with them on our four-tape or four-CD set. And then we have Alex Jones' excellent DVD and game going into the Bilderbergers, where he goes to one of the meetings. Of course, he can't get inside, but fascinating overview of their plan for mass population reduction, because after all, we're using up their natural resources. They plan to kill off a large part of the population. The book, Satanic Crimes, of these four tape sets of satanic crimes gives you an inside look at the Bilderberg Nation, home and elsewhere. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on.